All right, welcome back to another incredibly delayed episode of Fantasy Rejects. I am your host, Christian Torres, and I am flying solo this time around. Only reason is because it's just fucking impossible to get anybody to get on the same page to go along and record an episode. So, you're just going to hear the rantings and ravings of a madman. And what rantings and ravings? Well, I've got a bone to pick with the fantasy community in general. And that bone is this incessant urge for people to want to keep plugging in kickers and defenses. I don't get it. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's a part of the game, so we should leave it in. Be realistic. You're just comfortable seeing that because you've been playing that way forever. And that's okay. But don't sit there and say that it matters. It counts. I looked at it. Looking back on it, especially last year, there were, 13, 14 weeks in a regular fantasy football season. That's about 78 plus games total. Just looking at last year's games individually, you know how many games actually came down to defenses and kickers, whether one or the other or both? About 7 games on average for the entire season spread out. That's less than 10%. And people are going to sit there and tell me, no, it makes a difference. No, it doesn't. Because nobody's sitting there doing research on that stuff. It's random. It's one of those two are the most random positions to be drafting, which is why majority of us just sit there and draft the last two rounds of kickers and defenses. What does everybody do when that point happens? They sit there, they grab the magazine, they more than likely got the day of the draft and realize on the draft board, oh shit, the draft's almost over. Let me flip over to the pages of defenses and kickers. Let me see. Somebody picked a defense because they thought they'd be sneaky and grabbed them early on in the draft in the 8th to 10th round. Ooh. Well, okay, let me grab that defense. They did good last year. And that's the thing. Last year. You know how many defenses last year were drafted and ended up as a top 10 defense at the end of the year? 3. 3 defenses. You know what defenses weren't drafted last year? The top scoring one last year was Jacksonville Jaguars. They weren't drafted last year. I mean, for Christ's sake, Miami Dolphins ended up being the 5th top scoring defenses in the league. Along with Buffalo. Buffalo comes out almost at 9th, 10th spot. Scoring defenses. Did anybody draft him? Anybody. If you're raising your hand, you're a liar. Good day to you people. Get out of here. Nobody, there's no reason to draft defenses and kickers. Kickers, that's another one. It's another one just random. Oh, but Steven Gostkowski, he's consistent. Okay, one guy. Great. Outside of Gostkowski, who plays for the Patriots, does anybody know any other kicker? Zuerlein, the only reason I know that because it's a weird fucking name. And everybody asks, well then what do you want to do? You just want to leave just a starting roster of 7 people? No, that's just retarded. Let's use up those spots. And, you know, for those that, you know, for like in the 12-man PPR I'm in, we have 2 wide receiver starters. Let's do 3. Plenty of wide receivers to go around. Some of us actually do the research before the draft, week or two prior, are boning up on that. Let's use that. As for the other spot, getting rid of the kicker or the defense, as I said, I'm for getting rid of both. Put a super flex in. Change it up. Make it challenging. I'm of the opinion that it should be a running back, wide receiver, and tight end flex. Throw in the tight end. Makes tight end even much more of a premium to draft. It's comfort zone. That's what it is. I'd rather sit there and have, you know, the rookie Christian Kirk on my bench, sitting there waiting to be plugged into, you know, a flex spot, than to sit there and waste it on a defense and kicker that you're going to end up dropping anyways by the time their bye weeks come. Very few are actually going to keep them on their bye week and drop a player, which is ridiculous to me. Players matter so much more than just a defense and kicker. They really do. Ask anybody that was in a championship last year. Pretty sure those guys weren't relying on their defense. They were relying on Todd Gurley, which if you had him, you won. And that goes across the board. Or Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis was on a tear at the end of the season, was probably the only one that could gone up against somebody with Todd Gurley. Oh, and by the way, those 7 games on average that defenses and or kickers helped out, none in the playoffs. 0 defenses and kickers helped their teams in the playoffs. It's a wash. It's a wash. So, that's pretty much it. Fuck defenses and kickers. All right, enough about defenses and kickers. On to another subject. We're on the day of the first Thursday night game being played between the Falcons and Eagles, I believe. And something just came about. And there's been a lot of trades going on in a lot of the leagues I'm in. And I feel like talking to certain individuals, there is something funny about how they approach other people that come to them with trade offers. And their approach isn't really something you should do. I think there's a certain etiquette that you should have with your fellow league mates. And I know, it's, you know, those of us in leagues, like, look, we're all big boys. We can take a little jabs and stuff like that. But when somebody comes with you with a trade offer, and it's obviously a trade you have no interest in saying, there's no reason to text a person back and go, yo, man, thanks, but I'm not interested right now. You know, maybe we'll get back together and figure something out if and when that happens. Nothing wrong with that. I don't think you should tell the other person, yeah, I don't want your garbage ass player. Yeah, I don't think that's a good way to go about it. You might have to go back to that person later on that year or the year after or the year after that. This isn't something that happened to me, but it's something I've heard ongoing with other league mates. Because it can come around and bite you in the ass. I mean, I've been getting trade offers left and right for Gronkowski, you know, Alex Collins, whatever player I got. I look at the trade, I'm not interested. Oh, that's another thing. Have the courtesy, like, to text him back. Hit him back up. Don't just decline and just call it a day. I'll just text him back like, hey man, thanks, but I'm good right now, you know. Let's revisit this later, little later. I want to see how week one happens. Send. That's it. They're like, hey man, thanks for the text back. Nobody ever does. I've been getting that constantly. Like, I'm like, wow. All right. Sorry. That sucks. Whatever, man. Certain etiquettes need to be, you know, just don't burn bridges. You're going to need probably to trade somebody at some point in the season. But like I said, you know, we're all big. We're all adults. Sure, none of us are taking this, you know, too seriously when somebody insults somebody else about a player. But at the same time, eh. Yeah, so that's pretty much my thoughts on whole etiquette towards trade offers. Take it with a grain of salt, I guess. For those wondering, like, hey, you know, you were breaking down the divisions, you know, what they did offseason. Are the other stuff coming? No. Just at this point, the season's starting. Fuck it. It just... schedule-wise, thing just fell through the cracks and it just wasn't going to happen. And I just decided, fuck it, I'll just have the balls just to record by myself and put it up here. So next year, if I can't get anybody to do it, I'll fly solo. It is what it is. And if I can get anybody on, sweet. But as of right now, I'm sorry y'all have to suffer just listening to me. Sorry, but not sorry. I don't give a fuck. You can turn it off. I don't care. Oh, fuck. Anyways, so yeah, one league, the main 12-man PPR I've been in for coming up 2 decades, decided second overall pick, again, high draft pick I did not want to be in, but decided, fuck it, I'll stick it out and see how it goes. Went with Le'Veon Bell after Todd Gurley went first overall. Sitting here on September 6, 2018, he has yet to report to the Steelers. Pretty much telling them to go fuck themselves, give me a contract or trade me. Fuck me, right? I mean, I knew going in, like, look, he may sit out and whatever, but at the same time, like, dude, I kind of expected you to pull what you did last year and come in the week of practice for the first game. Guess not. Guess he's gonna hold out as long as he can, and I can't blame him. I mean, you sit there as a running back, you're putting your body in constant harm, smashing into people, going, whether you're offensive lineman or the defensive lineman, etc. Dude should get paid. One of the most productive running backs in the league. Dude should get paid. And for, you know, all this news coming out that the offensive linemen are pissed off with him because he's not in, shit like that. Like, bro, you know, if they invent a time machine, hop back in time, tell your younger self, don't be a fat fuck and play lineman. play something else that pays more. Don't give him shit for it. He's trying to get paid. Everyone's trying to get paid. It's a violent fucking game. You only got a shelf life of, you know what? What's the average? 3, 4, 5 years? You know? He's at the apex of his fucking, of his career. He's what, 26, 27 years old? You don't have much time left. It is what it is. I drafted him knowing he may hold out. Fingers crossed, the Steelers suck. They cave into his demands and give him a contract. If not, well, for those of us that drafted him, just going to have to just put him on the bench, wait and see, move on, start making moves. Should have drafted fucking John Connor. Jesus, I'll be back. Should have drafted James Connor, but we had to have a kicker and a defense, didn't we, guys? It all comes back around. Now, here I am trying to decide what players to drop on my roster. Tyrell Williams, second string wide receiver to the Chargers. One injury to Keenan Allen, full go. Cameron Meredith, moved over to the Saints. He's done mediocre in the preseason, but he is a target for Drew Brees. Or do I cut Corey Davis, second-year player, supposed to be a baller for the Tennessee Titans? Or do I go ahead and cut Christian Kirk, the rookie wide receiver Arizona drafted this past year? Injury to Larry Fitzgerald, he's number one guy. Or do I go ahead and cut bait with O.J. Howard? Another one. Cameron Brate goes down for the Bucks. It's O.J. Howard time. Decisions, decisions. Enough about my woes. So, wanted to talk about what's gone on in draft boards across all the drafts I've been participating in. And as I thought it would happen, it was very running back heavy in the first two rounds. I mean, obviously, the top four guys went Gurley, Bell, Johnson, Elliott. Obviously, the Bell situation, you know, the situation with Bell still hasn't come up. So everybody's like, he may make it back in time, but it is what it is. Saquon Barkley went pretty steadily in the first round. Same with Kamara and Hunt. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everybody's running back thirsty. And I'm one that's, you know, yeah, I went Le'Veon Bell. I mean, at the two spot, it was that or Antonio Brown. But there's plenty of other running backs that can fill in. You know, all these running backs, you know, these second-year running backs, you know, as exciting as they were last year, I just don't feel like they're going to be worth the value everybody's getting them at the moment. First and second round. I mean, hell, there was one guy ballsy enough to take Derrick Henry in the second round when on average he was going, you know, round 5 or 6. Still had, you know, Marshawn Lynch available. All these other guys were available. But, you know, the thirst is real. Thirst is real. I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, later on in the draft grabbing Alex Collins and Burkhead and Duke Johnson. You know, they're not sexy names, but they produce. And they should continue to produce. I mean, is anybody ever been disappointed with Duke Johnson? He's always catching balls out the backfield. He's pretty consistent year in, year out. It's hard to save guys like Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, you know, Fournette. Are they consistent? We don't know yet. We'll see. Hopefully they are. You know, as you know, Matt Kelly from, you know, playerprofile.com says, you know, I don't hate players. I hate their ADP. Jerick McKinnon, RIP 2018 season, out with an ACL. But he got drafted in the fourth round. Way too high for me. Way too high for a lot of people. I mean, here's a guy who's never really had a full workload by himself. And to risk a fourth, you know, fourth round, third round, hell, even in one league, he went third round. That's pretty high, man. I mean, over guys like, you know, Amari Cooper and Thielen were still available. You know, Marshawn Lynch, again, was still available. It's all about ADP value. Everybody knows I'm a McKinnon fan. Hell, I was, you know, fucking on his bandwagon all last year. And then goes over to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, who you know, this head coaching fetish. Jesus Christ, calm down. He's good. Definitely can put players in positions to succeed, but, you know, calm that shit down, guys. No reason to, you know, boost his ADP up like that. You still got to see him work and tote the ball. We're not going to do it this year. He's done for the season. But other than Kenny getting hurt, you know, he was, like I said, drafted at least somewhere between rounds 2 through 4, even 5. And then the Le'Veon Bell situation, pretty sure most of the players came out unscathed. So that's a good thing. Nothing crazy happened. in terms of injury. Although it was nice to see, and I'm using that sarcastically, it was nice to see how the running back situation for the Bucs ended up being. Said it for a while, Ronald Jones wasn't going to work out. I don't think he's going to work out. I know he's just a rookie. We still got to see his career play out, but depth chart for the running backs came out for the Bucs. As predicted, Peyton Barber is starting, and Ronald Jones is not backing him up. It's the old man, Jaquizz Rodgers. I mean, he had flags. He had flags coming into the draft, and the Bucs decided, yeah, that's the guy I want. The guy that can, that's pretty fast going, you know, up and down the field, but has no agility, has no hands, can't pass protect. Good job, Bucs. Good job. It's a new season, and I'm ready to be hurt again. And because I am a glutton for pain, I'm going to wrap this show up with my bust and sleepers for the season. And I have to reiterate, for the season, by season's end. Last game of the season is what I feel like these guys are going to bust or help out those teams that took a chance on them. So, starting off with the QBs that I feel are going to bust. Deshaun Watson, been being drafted from rounds 4 through 6, 7, way ahead of some other better options, I believe. Like, I'd rather have Matthew Stafford over Watson. Just more steady. We only have a small sample size of Deshaun Watson. I hope the kid works out. He was very exciting last year. I just don't think where he's being drafted is going to be worth the value. My other QB bust, Jimmy Garoppolo. Same situation. Again, where he's being drafted, sure. Is it being overinflated because of the whole Kyle Shanahan offensive genius, blah, 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 blah? Yes, absolutely. Which is why I feel like he's going to bust. And my last QB to bust is going to be Patrick Mahomes. Sorry for those out there. I like him as well. But second-year player, harder schedule. It's an uphill climb for him, I feel like. My running back bust for the season, Leonard Fournette. I mean, he's just a grinder. I'll have to see this year how he ends up being. He can prove me wrong. We'll see. Another one I feel like is Alvin Kamara. Another guy, very crazy efficient last year, but as law of averages, what comes up must come down. That's just how it goes. And the other running back that I feel is going to bust, who I don't understand why people are grabbing him from rounds 5 through 8 and 9, Kenyon Drake. Granted, he's the guy right now, but he's never been the guy, even in college. And my rule of thumb is, if he wasn't the guy in college, he probably might not be the guy in the pros. Moving on, for my wide receiver bust, I have Devontae Adams going steady in the second round. I've got my issues with Adams. I feel like he's been, for the most part, very inefficient. But Jordy Nelson's gone. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. We shall see. My other bust for wide receivers is Brandon Cooks going steady in the 6th, 7th round. This is a guy who goes from New England to the Rams. The Rams who already got the likes of Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. I know Sammy Watkins left, but that is a run-first team. And it doesn't help that the NFC West got a pretty good stable of cornerbacks and safeties that might put a cap on Cook's production. And my last receiver to bust this season, and this will hurt a lot of my Tampa brethren, Mike Evans, Captain No Yak. We're going to see. I feel like Chris Godwin's going to come up, and my hope is outshow Mike Evans. I mean, I like Mike, big body target, but just not. If anybody ever seen him play, this guy, he always looks like he's getting shot and just falling down. I don't get it. I don't understand. He's just not somebody that ever gets a lot of yak. I don't know. That's my feeling on that. I'm not going to really go into tight end because there's only so many tight ends. I mean, I'll give you bust and sleepers, and I've already got, like, what? Like, that's half of the tight end position, so fuck that. So we'll move on to sleepers. My sleepers for the quarterbacks, somebody I drafted, Mitchell Trubisky. If anybody heard podcast about a month back, Trubisky, I feel like, is going to be part of the Rams 2.0 this year, talking about the Bears. My other quarterback is going to be Marcus Mariota. Had a really shitty season last year. Gets a part of Sean McVay's offensive staff from LA over to Tennessee. Should be a definite uptick in offensive production and should have a bounce back year. And of course, the other one's going to be Derek Carr. Just because John Gruden comes back, not that I'm trying to suck John Gruden's dick here, but the guy's, you know, a decent offensive coordinator. So he should come back into form. And he's healthy. Last year, he did have a bad back situation. Kind of, I think that pretty much plagued him last year. Moving on to the running backs, sleeper-wise, Royce Freeman, rookie running back for Denver. Big fan of that guy. Wish he landed to the Bucks, but of course, that would take an intelligent GM to see the kind of talent he is. The next one up, running back-wise, Marshawn Lynch. Yes, 31 years old, but if anybody saw that first preseason game, him break out a 60-yard run, unfortunately got called back for a hold. I mean, that should just show you enough that he still has enough juice left in the tank to give you a good productive season. My other one is Lamar Miller. It should show you that the team has confidence in him being the primary back. They didn't go out and draft a running back. They didn't really bring anybody in. So it's all go for Miller. Wide receiver sleepers for me. Chris Hogan is a top of the list for me. Julian Edelman's gone for 4 weeks. It is just him and Philip Dorsett in the wide receiver position, and Cordarrelle Patterson. Other than that, they got rid of Kenny Britt. They got rid of Jordan Matthews. They got rid of a lot of people, which is surprising considering they could use a lot of wide receiver help. So for me, Chris Hogan, even if Julian Edelman comes in, you know, you can move him to the outside. I think he'll still produce. He's got Tom Brady throwing to him, for fuck's sake. Next sleeper wide receiver for me, Allen Robinson, coming back from injury, finally leaves the death trap of Blake Bortles. Yes, it's a second-year quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, but this guy is a red zone threat. Comes back healthy, should be very productive for anybody who picks him up in fantasy. And one deep sleeper for me this season, who had burned me his rookie year several years back, Nelson Agholor. Alshon Jeffrey's gone. It's just him and Mike Wallace. Agholor had a really decent stretch last year. Kind of started to show something. Showed why the team invested a draft pick in him. So I feel like he definitely should be top 15 in wide receivers this season. I'll go with that. So yeah. So there you have it, guys. I ranted for a good 10, 15 minutes on defenses and kickers. Gave you my outlook on the sleepers and busts. Hopefully I can get somebody on. If not, I'll just be solo again. We'll just roll with it. Anybody out there, hit me up. Let me know how the show's gone this time around. I'm on Twitter at RejectsTorres, T-O-R-E-S. You can hit us up on our podcasting site on fantasyrejects.podomatic.com. Especially there, please. All right, guys. Later.